All right, for our next presentation, we're going to learn about examining ground and aerial remote sensing measurements for nitrogen use efficiency and variety selection in wheat.
All right, thank you. My name is Joseph Oakes. I work out at the Virginia Tech Tyrora Agriculture Research and Extension Center in Suffolk, Virginia. Like I said, I'd like to talk to you for a while this morning about examining ground and aerial remote sensing measurements for nitrogen use efficiency and variety selection in wheat. A little bit of introduction before we get started. Phenotyping by hand can be extremely time-consuming, often unreliable when weather conditions are fluctuated. We think of an example like canopy temperature. You say you have a field with several hundred plots in it. You want to try to go through and collect canopy temperature. But by the time it takes you to get from one side of the field to the other, you could have had sunlight, clouds, all kinds of things that could artificially influence that canopy temperature and therefore change it from plot to plot as you go, which would be dependent on sunlight and clouds, things like that. So with aerial measurements, such as with the UAV, these measurements can often be collected in a matter of minutes. So therefore, the UAV technology might have a potential to resolve some of these issues. For instance, a typical flight, you know, in one of our plot fields might take less than 15 minutes or so. So with this reduced time, we might have a potential to resolve some of these issues we get with unreliable weather conditions, things of that nature. So if successful, you know, if these aerial indices are successful, breeders may have new and improved tools to use for phenotyping. And that's kind of where this project, in the background of this project, our wheat breeder, Virginia Tech, he kind of asked us if we could use our UAV to try to get some of the same indices and measurements that they're getting from the ground, like canopy temperature and NDVI, things of that nature. So this project, we had two objectives. Number one was to validate if UAV taken RGB, near infrared, and infrared images have improved efficacy over traditional methods for variety selection. Number two, we wanted to identify suitable RGB, near infrared, and infrared indices for the selection of wheat varieties that have improved yield and nitrogen use efficiency. Jumping into through some materials and methods. We had two locations in Suffolk and Warsaw, Virginia in 2016-2017. We examined 13 lines of cultivars that were selected by our wheat breeder that all had varying range of punitive nitrogen use efficiency as defined by the breeder. We had both parent lines, some checks, some commercial varieties in here as well. So we had several different varieties that we looked at there. And the varieties were basically subjected to two nitrogen rates, a low application rate of 67 kilograms per hectare applied in the spring, a normal of 135 kilograms per hectare applied in the spring, which goes out to about 60 pounds per acre and 120 pounds per acre, which would be a low and a standard nitrogen rate. If you look there on the top right, that's just the aerial image of one of the locations. You see the different varieties and nitrogen rates. You can see the different colors involved there. We collected aerial measurements, as I said, with the Aztec Falcon 8 UAV, which is an octocopter. Measurements were taken at five growth stages, Zadox growth stage 30, 45, 60, 75, and 85. And we collected three types of images, as I said, with Sony Alpha 6000 for RGB images. For aerial NDVI, we used the ADC Lite Tetracam multispectral camera. And for canopy temperature, we use a FLIR infrared camera. That's just some images of those. Down here in the lower left is a picture of the drone actually flying the RGB camera. Here's an image of the Tetracam, which we collected NDVI with. And here's a picture of the FLIR used for collecting canopy temperature. The images were tagged after flight and were merged with PIX4D. Corresponding ground measurements were also collected at the same time as the aerial measurements. We collected NDVI with the Trimble Green Seeker handheld crop reflectance sensor, and we collected canopy temperature with a handheld infrared thermometer. You see pictures of those two instruments there. From the RGB pictures, we extracted some RGB indices using ImageJ software. We looked at green area, which is the percentage of pixels with a hue value between 60 and 120, and greener area, which is percent of pixels between 80 and 120. This is just kind of a workflow of that process here. First, us were flown, and they were merged, like I said, in PIGS4D, and then we used ArcGIS to extract each individual plot to run through ImageJ. The aerial measurements were compared with ground measurements at each growth stage, and then both the aerial and the ground measurements were compared with biomass and yield. For sake of time, for this talk today, I'm just going to focus on yield because that's ultimately what's most important. So let's jump into some and look at the relationship between our NDVI and RGB indices and look at some correlations, some R-squared values between ground and aerial, green and greener area, and ground and NDVI. This is 2016 data, and the first thing you see that RGB indices are well correlated with ground NDVI. You see very high R-squares among most of the growth stages where the data was collected, especially here at growth stage 75 at both locations. You see R-squares around 0.7, 0.8. Same thing here at Suffolk. Moving on to 2017, again, we saw good correlations between the aerial indices and ground NDVI. Again, at growth stage 75, we saw very good relationships at both locations. Even at Warsaw, we saw good relationships early on as well, so that's very good. We want to try to get the same amount of good data early on in the season as we do later in the season. So, again, we're getting very good correlation R-square values even as early as growth stage 30. This is a relationship with ground and aerial NDVI, both locations, both years. You see a couple points where there was not a lot of good relationship, but overall we did see good relationships between NDVI taken with the drone and NDVI taken from the ground. Specifically, again, we'll go back to growth stage 75 where we consistently saw good correlations. We see that here as well. R-square is 0.69, 0.75 at Warsaw and Suffolk. So again, we're seeing very good relationships between measurements we're taking with the ground and measurements we're collecting from the air, which is what we had hoped to see. So just overall looking at the aerial versus ground indices, both ground the ground and aerial indices are well correlated with ground NDVI. One thing to point out, greener area was not as well correlated after growth stage 75. And one reason this might be was we had a loss of green leaf area around growth stage 85. Plants start to dry down at that stage. And our greener area actually represents more pixels at a higher hue angle. So when you're losing that green leaf area, that's going to probably reduce that relationship some. Second point, aerial NDVI was consistently well correlated with ground NDVI throughout the season. Now let's look at yield correlations. How well do these indices predict yield? To 2016, we saw, again, growth stage 75 produced our best yield prediction consistently across ground and aerial NDVI, ground and aerial RGB indices. We all saw a very, very good correlation and prediction of yield. And one thing to point out, our aerial NDVI and RGB indices actually outperform ground NDVI when assessing yield differences. So if you look in Suffolk 2016, our ground NDVI growth stage 75 was around 0.7. But if you look at our aerial NDVI and our aerial RGB indices, they were much higher correlated there. Same thing in 2017. Again, we saw good yield predictions at growth stage 75 and 85. Again, our aerial and aerial NDVI and RGB indices outperformed ground NDVI when assessing yield differences. One thing to point out, Suffolk 2017, you see our relationships are a lot lower. One way I think we can explain this, we saw a lot of deer damage eating the grain late in the season at Suffolk, so that reduced our grain yield and probably negatively influenced those our relationships. But still, at growth stage 75 for our aerial RGB indices, we're getting a better relationship than ground NDVI, which is what we were hoping to see. So now let's move on to the infrared camera and try to answer a couple questions. One, can the FLIR differentiate between nitrogen rates? And can it distinguish which varieties are more sensitive to lower nitrogen rates? So we did the same thing with the FLIR. We flew it at these five growth stages here. What we did different, we flew it at four times throughout the day, at 9, 11, 1, and 3, to try to determine, to see how canopy temperature changed throughout the day, and if we could pick that up with the drone. And this is just a quick shot of an aerial photo with the FLIR. We just pulled out one variety at random, and automatically we see that our low nitrogen rate had a higher canopy temperature than our normal nitrogen rate did. So what we did, first we looked throughout the day. We saw that canopy temperature increased throughout the day, and the low nitrogen rate exhibits a higher canopy temperature. This is on May 16th this past year. You see at 9 and 11 a.m., no difference in canopy temperature between high and between normal and low nitrogen rate. But as you get to 1 and 3 p.m., you are starting to see that significant difference between the low and normal nitrogen. So let's look at, this is going back to April 25th at 9 and 11. Again, we saw no differences, but you see at 1 p.m., we saw one variety showing difference between low and normal nitrogen. Move on to 3 p.m., we saw around four varieties that are showing a difference between low and normal nitrogen and canopy temperature. So we see as temperature increases throughout the day, more varieties are starting to show sensitivity to nitrogen stress. Now let's look at about 2 weeks later on May 9th. Already at 1 p.m., we see four varieties, that same variety plus three more, showing the difference between low and normal nitrogen. Move on to 3 p.m., we see about eight or nine varieties. The majority of those varieties are showing sensitivity to nitrogen stress. So the question is this adequate indicator of yield and nitrogen use efficiency and yield stability? We're working on that. Not sure yet, but it is a good start, I think, that we're seeing some of these varieties that are known to have nitrogen use, that are known to have low nitrogen use efficiency, are showing a difference as you move throughout the growing season in canopy temperature, and the ones that are known to have low are showing increased sensitivity to nitrogen stress. So to wrap up with a few conclusions, and number one, using UAV data for phenotyping does have the potential to replace ground collected data for variety selection. Our RGB indices were well correlated with ground and aerial collected NDVI. RGB indices were also well correlated with yield and are often a better indicator of yield than our ground collected data. Our aerial NDVI provided up to a 0.89 correlation R-squared with ground NDVI and is therefore often a better indicator of yield than ground NDVI. Our aerial infrared data was not a reliable predictor of grain yield. I didn't show that on the graph because our relationship it was poor. Did not predict grain yield well, but it, like I showed, it was successful in differentiation between nitrogen application rates. And it showed us which varieties were more tolerant to a lower nitrogen application rate. And therefore, these lower cost RGB cameras can be successfully used by breeders for phenotyping in wheat. You know, the breeding program, they want to incorporate some of these aspects. They don't necessarily have to purchase a more expensive camera. We saw that we could get some of these same differences with a regular RGB camera. So, with that, I'd like to thank the Virginia Small Grains Board for funding this research, and I'll take any questions you might have.
Questions?
Yes.
How did you avoid the infection from the soil rather than canopy transplantation?
How did we avoid the
infection from the soil?
Well, we haven't exactly done that yet. We're still in the initial phases of trying to learn the best way to collect the data with the infrared camera. But the majority of the time when it was flown, the canopy was closed. So there was not soil present because we only selected each individual plot. So
the measurement is when totally closed?
Yes.
So you were noticing
differences between temperature and your nitrogen treatments. Why do you speculate that is?
Well, the main thing we were thinking it was that those varieties that were known to have low nitrogen use efficiency, they were showing more stress to during the warm part of the day, and as you moved into May, when it's warmer, then they were showing that stress of not receiving the adequate amount of nitrogen.
Okay. You think so? Low nitrogen, you think, causes low stomatal conductance then?
Yes.
Any other questions? All right, well, let's give them another hand.
Thank you.